Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Downs. It's a privilege to be back here again this morning, feeling the presence of the Lord. The anointing of the Lord is here, and I believe that He's going to do some amazing things in this service. We have a tendency to push things off. Well, if it doesn't happen now, we can wait till later. But I believe that the Lord wants to do some things here today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And so if you have an expectation in your heart, the Lord is going to do something for you or through you, one way or the other. And I believe if we will open our hearts to Him, as Pastor Downs has just mentioned, He's going to do some incredible things in this meeting. Praise God. It's a real privilege to be here with your pastor, his wife, his family. And I've always enjoyed being with him. We ministered together in Indonesia several years ago. Got to know them a little better at that point. Good to be with Bishop and Sister Downs. They have been hosting us for the last week and doing an exceptional job. Praise God. And we have so much enjoyed the fellowship and just opening up, expressing different experiences that we've had over the years, and they're telling us things that they've seen. And so I guess through all of that and what the Lord had been dealing with me anyway, I'm going to talk for a few minutes this morning about walking in the anointing. Praise God. I believe that the Lord wants His children to walk in an anointed life, walk in a position of spiritual authority where the Lord begins to move by His Spirit and power. Praise God. Let's just lift our hands and worship Him right now. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to read from the book of Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. While you're turning there, as Pastor Down said, Pentecostal worship is not a spectator sport. And I'm not going to be at all upset if you shout hallelujah or start worshiping the Lord while I'm preaching. In fact, I might even get new inspiration and new revelation. So you help me preach here today, and I believe together we're going to bring the anointing to a position where God's going to do some miracles in this place. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to have Sister Sean with me. The last 6 months, either through some medical issues, or when I was here at the beginning of the change of the year, she was visiting our newest granddaughter in the States. And so I'm glad that she's here today. And as Brother Jonathan has said about her book, I read an average of 1,000 to 1,500 pages a month in books. I'm not meaning novels, I'm meaning historical or biographical books. And she's written a very good book, I will say that, even though I'm her husband. And of course I'm on the cover, but she talks about angelic visitations, about a lot of things that happen. And I guess Brother Raymond Woodward, who wrote the a note on the back, he phrased it in a way that kind of got me thinking, and that's what I'm trying to speak about here this morning, about how it's in the normal rhythms of life that we get a move of the Holy Ghost, that there's an interjection of the Spirit of God while we're not expecting it. And that's why I believe we need to walk in the anointing, because you never know when you're going to need His power and Spirit. But I'm reading in Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, in other words, not a walking stick, nor scrip, that's a valise or a small bag, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for each person who's gathered together in your name. Now we do ask for the anointing. We recognize without you we can do nothing, and I'm asking that you would move mightily by your Spirit, that you would interject your presence into this place in a special way to do the miraculous. And we're asking these things now in the name which is above every name. In Jesus' name we pray. And let's glorify him one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated. There is a tendency, particularly in Western nations, to compartmentalize our lives. We have different blocks of time that we do certain things. We have a certain amount of time for our church. We have a certain amount of time for our family. We have a certain amount of time for our job. A certain time that we use for leisure, a certain time that we use for eating. And there are different things that we are involved in, and we tend to separate them. They are different periods of time. But having lived most of my life in the East, there is a tendency in those nations to run everything together. You never know when something is going to happen. Situations change very, very rapidly. And I believe that the Lord wants his church not just to be aware of him when we gather in a building like this, but we need to learn to walk in the anointing. We need to learn to walk where his Spirit and presence is, and understand that he is in us and with us, that he's ready to do things through us at any given moment. If you read the gospel and the ministry of Jesus, there were a few occasions where he did miracles in the synagogue or in the temple, but the vast majority of his miracles were done on the street or in people's homes, because he lived in the anointing. He didn't just break it down to a certain period of time each week or day, but it was something that he lived in. There was a cloud of anointing upon him wherever he went. And I believe he was trying to teach his disciples here in what we've read in Luke chapter 9. They had seen him do miracles. They had heard him teach about the power of God. And he was almost like a roving Bible teacher. They followed with him, and as they would walk in the pathway every day, he would be teaching them new concepts and precepts from the kingdom of God. And so as they were learning, he declared to them here, it's time for you now to go out and start practicing what you've been hearing. Not just watching me do it, not just listening to me teach it, but I want you to go out and begin to put into practice what you have seen and heard. Now, he had not planned to ascend to heaven yet, but he wanted them to practice because he knew the time was coming when he did go into heaven that they were going to be on their own, in a sense that he would not be physically with them. And they were going to have to learn how to walk in the anointing on their own. So he sent them out for a short term of practice, just to see what they could do. And he gave them some instructions. He said, don't take a lot of extra stuff with you. Don't weigh yourself down. But he said, I want you to go and cast out devils. I'm going to give you authority over every devil. Not just certain devils, but you will have authority over every evil spirit. There is nothing that can stop you or hinder you, because you will have authority over them. And then he added as a postscript, go and heal the sick. He said, you will have authority over every evil spirit, and you will have authority over every sickness. So I want you to go in the power and authority that I have delegated to you. And so they went out, and the Bible tells us they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. I believe that as we go everywhere, that God goes with us everywhere. And when we are open and sensitive to his voice and to his spirit, when we walk in the anointing, you don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a bishop. You don't have to be some great evangelist. If you have the power of God in your life, you can walk in the anointing. And at any given moment, whatever need there might be, the Holy Ghost can move through you. Because a bishop may never get to you. The pastor may never have a chance to get to that person in need. And you're there. You have the anointing. You can use it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a scripture that the Lord has really strongly impressed on me in recent months. And I have mentioned it in several different places. But it's something that has gripped a hold of my heart. And it's in John chapter 15 and verse 7. John the 15th chapter and the 7th verse. Jesus told his disciples, if you abide in me, that is, if you live in me, not just visit from time to time, but if you live in me and my words live in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you live in me, and if my words live in you, then you can ask what you want, and it's going to happen. It's very interesting to me. Sister Shama and I travel a lot. I think since I was here on the 31st of December, I've been in my own bed 10 nights. Since I was here in Australia, I've been to Bangladesh. We had a crusade there. Then I went to Scotland. Then I was in France. Came back to Malaysia for a week, and now I'm here. And I'm just going round and round in circles, it seems, at times. But I have learned that wherever you go, the spirit and presence of God is there. The anointing is there, and at any moment when there is a need, you can activate it. But in traveling as I have stayed in hotels. I've stayed in different homes, different locations. And when we came the first night in Bishop and Sister Down's home, they showed us the bedroom where we would be staying and where the bathroom was and so on. And so I was trying to get everything set in my mind, because I knew when the lights are off and I have to make a trip in the night, that it's good to have an idea where you're going. And the door kind of angles out. And the first night, I don't know where I was, but I think I've toured the whole room before I finally found the door. And why? Because I was a visitor. That was, we stayed here several years ago, but I've been in a lot of places since. So I had lost the feel of the room. And so as I began to look around, I realized, okay, I've got to get a better picture of this in my mind. And the next morning, with the lights on, I started looking and memorizing where the places were. But when I go home to Malaysia, to our apartment in Kuala Lumpur, I can almost walk anywhere in that apartment. We have quite a large one, and I can walk anywhere there with my eyes closed because I know where the dresses are. I know where the beds are. I know where the tables are. I know where everything is. I know where the switches are on the wall. I've got them memorized. I'm familiar with them. And the Lord wants us to become so familiar with Him that we live in Him. So we know where the furniture is. We know where the light switches are. Whenever we need something, if we need a glass of water, we can go to the fridge and we know where it is. We're not stumbling around reaching in the darkness. He wants us to learn how to live in Him. Because He said if we live in Him and His words live in us. Have you noticed how sometimes children 3 and 4 years old will suddenly come out with an amazing statement? And you wonder, where in the world did that come from? Well, they've been listening to mom and dad speak. And they heard them say something, and so it became lodged in their mind. And at some particular moment, there it came. And it sounded like that was out of space from somewhere. But it wasn't actually. It's that they became familiar with their mother and father's talking. And the more you're around a person, the more you live near them or around, you hear them talk, you can almost finish their sentence. You can quote what they're saying. Sister Shama and I have been married. It'll be 48 years coming up in a few months. And a lot of times, one of us starts a sentence and the other finishes it. A lot of times we just have to even look at each other and we know what we're thinking. Why? Because of familiarity. We need to become familiar with the presence of God. We need to become familiar with the anointing of God so that we're walking in the anointing all the time. Because you never know when you're going to need a miracle. You never know when you're going to need God to intervene and to do something that you were not expecting. Praise God. Every morning I get up, I spend time praying, asking the Lord to lead and guide for that day. There are different things that I pray about because you don't know what you're going to face on any particular day. There may be a need suddenly arise, and you wonder, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to take care of it? But I believe that as we walk in the anointing, God's Spirit is going to begin working through us in the miraculous. He wants His entire church to become activated in the miraculous, walking in the anointing. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 10, I think it's in verse 28, that it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. There are many people that we encounter that are bound by different sins and habits, bound by things that they cannot break, but it's the anointing flowing through you that can break the yoke. God has given us power and authority, and we can go forth in His name and see the miraculous happened. Praise God. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, Jesus was in the synagogue in Nazareth where He had been raised. He was now known as a rabbi or a teacher. And there is a certain raised platform area in the middle of the synagogue where people read the scripture and give a sermon. And so Jesus evidently went up there and stood, and there was delivered to Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And so He opened it and began to read, and I'm reading in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. It reads that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The prophet Isaiah had written that approximately 800 years before Jesus stood and read it in this particular day. I'm assuming that many other rabbis through the years had stood in different synagogues across the land and read these exact same words. The problem was, when the people left the synagogue, they left the same way that they came in. There was no change. And there was a reason for that. When Jesus stood on this particular day, He was not merely reading the words. He was actually making a declaration. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was not quoting Isaiah. He was saying, this is what it's talking about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Jesus was the Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one. And he said, that anointing is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. The poor in those days had no hope either in this world or in the world to come. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you hope through the gospel. And it's the anointing as I preach that will set you free and liberate your spirits. He said, it's the anointing that will help me to heal the brokenhearted. A lot of people that have had broken hearts. And when I was a little boy, my mother used to read me nursery rhymes, and one was about Humpty Dumpty, and I think probably a lot of you have heard that one, how Humpty Dumpty fell off a wall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again, because he was broken into many pieces. But the Lord can take your broken heart and put it back together through the anointing. Hallelujah. There is power in the anointing. It's a healing oil. It brings cohesiveness again to the broken parts, and you can rise with new strength and authority. He said, through the anointing, I've come to preach deliverance to the captives. It doesn't matter if you're bound by drugs or alcohol or by lust or some other kind of thing, by hatred. Whatever you are bound by, the anointing will break that yoke and set you free. Hallelujah. When Sister Shawm and I were pastoring in Toronto back in the 1970s, there was a young man who walked into church one Sunday completely high on heroin. And he had been a drug abuser for quite some time. But as the Holy Ghost began to move in that service and we prayed for him, you could see his eyes coming into focus again. And in that very meeting, he was changed. Just a few months ago, Sister Shawm was on Facebook talking and communicating with him. This is over 50 years ago. He's still in the church, completely changed. He's never touched drugs in the interim because God completely healed him through the anointing. There is an anointing in this place today, and the Lord is getting ready to touch some people. He's getting ready to bring deliverance to those who are bound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those who have been held captive by different habits and things that have controlled them. He said, I've come to bring recovering of sight to the blind through the anointing. This is what the anointing does. That's not just the blind, I think he also meant the deaf. And to those who were lame, and to those who had cancer, and to those who had heart conditions, and whatever sickness is involved, he brings healing and deliverance through the anointing. That anointing is here right now. In fact, while I'm preaching, you don't even have to wait for an altar call. You can reach out and touch the Lord right where you are, because he's here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His anointing is here at this time. Praise God. Praise God. He said, I've come to set at liberty those that are bruised. There's a difference between a broken heart and someone who's bruised. Someone who's bruised is somebody who's maybe been abused. They have faced situations in their life where people have mocked them. They have been hurt deeply in their spirits. And because of that, their entire worldview, it comes through looking at things through pain. That's the only way they see the world. Even when good things happen, they still feel pain. It's something that controls them. But Jesus said the anointing is going to heal those who are bruised. He's going to set them free. He's going to give them deliverance. Praise God. I remember quite a few years ago now, we were in Pakistan, living in the capital city of Islamabad. Sister Shawm worked at the American International School, where most of the diplomatic children went, and some of the top government officials sent their children there, oil people, different ones from around the world. And So she had been working there, but on weekends, there were a bunch of expats who used to go and play softball, which is an underhand version of baseball. And so I would go with my son sometimes to play, and Sister Sean would be there as the main cheerleader. So there were different teams that were played. So the teachers had a team, the Canadians had a team, the Aussies had a team, the Brits had a team, the Americans had five or six teams. So we had a lot of different groups that were playing. And so she would be there cheering and so on. And I remember on the particular day, one of the teachers from the American International School had epilepsy, and he had an attack while one of the games was going on. And he began to thrash around because he had actually swallowed his tongue. And so people rushed over to try and aid him. And there was a physical education teacher there who was trying to administer first aid, and nothing was working, and the people were kind of piled around him. I was just standing back a little bit, praying quietly, but his eyes fastened on mine because he knew that my wife and I were people of prayer. Many people would come to her office and ask for prayer quietly, even though they were of different faiths or no faith at all. But in time of need, they would ask her to pray, and so her office became known as the prayer room at school. And so he knew that we were people of prayer, and his eyes fastened on me. And he was appealing through his eyes, "Please do something." And I reached over the physical education teacher, who was a Muslim man, and I laid hands on this teacher, and I said, "In the name of Jesus." And instantly his tongue popped out, and he began to breathe normally. And the Lord completely touched him. The next day at school, he told my wife, he said, "I know what happened and how that happened." He had an understanding that God had done it. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter where you are. You think it has to be at an altar here where God does the miracles. But I want you to know God will do miracles anywhere you are, if you're walking, if you're living in the anointing. Hallelujah. You can call upon it instantly. That's why I pray every day to keep that anointing fresh. I don't want stale anointing. I want an anointing that can reach out at any given moment when there's a need right now, wherever you are. Praise God. You don't think of a sports field as being a place where the anointing is used unless it's a big crusade. But God's willing to move in at any moment wherever we are. He's ready to do the miraculous. One day, Sister Shom called me from her office, and she said, "Alan, Sabia Bashir would like you to go and pray for the grandson at the hospital." And later that evening we did, but what had happened was, Sister Sean was working as a personal administrative assistant to the principal in the elementary office, and she had a coffee machine there, and teachers would come in during break and so on. But this lady walked in the office on this particular day, and she said, "Georgine, as you know, my daughter had a son born 3 weeks ago. He has no immune system. The doctors have said that they've just called us and told us that he's probably not going to survive the night, and that you need to come and get ready for his funeral." So she said, "I'm just coming to inform you that I'm leaving school early today." And as she turned to walk out the office, she said, "Oh, would you ask Alan to pray for the baby?" Meaning, if I had time wherever I was to pray. And so Sister Shom said, "Do you want us to go tonight or go and pray for the baby?" She said, "You mean you'd actually do that? Of course, that's why we're here." And this lady, her husband was a judge on the Supreme Court of Pakistan. They were practicing Muslims, very faithful in their religion. But in this time of need, they asked us to pray. We went to the hospital that evening after Sister Shom was off work. The baby was in an oxygen tent, and I got permission from the nurse to go in and to pray. The family was not there because, according to their tradition, they're trying to separate themselves emotionally from the baby so that they won't be impacted by it. So none of the family was there. We walked up to that oxygen tent. I just put my hand at the side of the bed because you couldn't lay it on the baby. I said, "Lord, you know these people don't even believe that you're God, but they're at a time of need now, and they've asked for a miracle, and I'm asking you to do it. I want you to show your power. And as we prayed there, we just turned around. There was nobody there, so we walked back out. The next morning, Sister Shawn was in her office, and it was a coffee break, and several teachers were standing around drinking coffee. The door opened, and this lady walked in. This particular teacher, she was one that taught the culture of Pakistan to the students. And as she walked in, she said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement to make." Now, she didn't know Pentecostal jargon. She was of a different faith. But she said, "Georgine and Alan Shalm are holy people." What she simply meant was they know how to touch God. And the reason she knew that, because we walk in the anointing. You see, it's not given for just a specific time, but as you walk in the anointing, you don't know what your day is going to produce, what you're going to need. And so she made the statement. She said, "I was supposed to bury my grandson this morning, but we'd just gotten a call from the doctor saying, we don't know what's happened, but the immune system has kicked in. You can come and take your grandchild home." Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. 9 years later, I was at the school. They were having an international day because there were many nationalities in the school. And I was helping to man the Canadian table. And this particular teacher walked by, and when she saw me, she said, "Oh, Alan, you're here." She said, "Can you wait for a few minutes? I'll be right back." I was there for the day, so I said, "Sure, I can wait." And so she went off for 5 or 10 minutes, came back with a young boy, and she turned to him and said, "Junaid, do you remember we were telling you how when you were a baby you were supposed to die because your immune system wasn't working?" He said, "Yes." He said, "And we asked a missionary to pray for you." "Yes. I would like to introduce you to him." That was 9 years later. The young boy is over 20 years old today. His family lives in Canada, where we're from. And the daughter, who is the mother of this young man, has been made known to make a statement to other people that if I ever become a Christian, I want to be one like Georgine is. She's seen a lot of Christians in her life, but she wants to be like one who walks in the anointing. Hallelujah. That's a privilege all of us have as Christians. But it doesn't happen automatically. You have to begin to seek the Lord. You've got to call upon him every day. You start to learn how to walk in the anointing. Read his word. Start to believe the words on those pages. That I can see this happen. God will do it through me. Praise God. He wants us to walk in his anointing. In the book of Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to close here shortly. But in Acts chapter 5, a familiar story of how that Ananias and Sapphira had lied to the Holy Ghost and died. And so the apostles began preaching and said, "Great fear came upon all the church and as many as heard these things." And in Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." So many, many miracles began to take place because of this. And it said, "The rest durst no man to join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." They believed that the anointing was upon Peter to the extent that him just walking by and his shadow falling on them would heal them. I believe the Lord wants us to live in him and his words to live in us, because you will begin to speak even in casual conversation things that are according to the will of God when his words live in you. You will have been in his presence so much, you will have absorbed so much of his thought process, that you will also start speaking like him. You will start speaking faith in your normal conversation. It won't be about all kinds of other things, but you'll begin to talk about the Lord and his power and his anointing. And this morning, his anointing is here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I believe it because I can feel the anointing. I understand the anointing and how he works. And he's ready to do some miracles in this place. Praise God. Praise God. I don't heal anybody. But the anointing that's on me heals people. It's the Lord Jesus who does it. Praise God. Praise God. Wherever we go, his anointing is there. I learned as a young pastor in Canada, Sister Shawm and I were probably in our mid-20s when it happened. But there was I got a phone call one day from a lady in our church. She said, Brother Shawm, Clara Lynn has been hit by a car, a hit-and-run driver, dragged along in the dirt and gravel, and they've rushed her to Sick Kids Hospital downtown Toronto. The doctors don't think she's going to live. Can we pray? And so I said, certainly. I called several prayer warriors in the church, and I drove down to the hospital in downtown Toronto. I went in there to the emergency area, and a nurse was taking me in. I identified myself as a pastor, so she gave me the permission to go in. As we were walking in, I didn't even remember. Sister Shawm reminded me the other day, but as I was walking in to the emergency room, the Holy Ghost just prompted me to say, she's going to be all right. It was just a simple statement. I went in and looked. They had shaved the side of her head as much as possible. It was gravel embedded there. She was unconscious, had been unconscious since the accident, and they did not expect her to live. And so I went in, prayed for her, went back home, and a few days later, her parents called and said, Clara Lynn has taken a turn for the better. Things are starting to get a little better. That was on a Tuesday, I believe, that the accident happened. The next Sunday, I was at the church, and we had an old-fashioned country-looking church, white church with clapboards, and I was on the front steps greeting people as they were coming in, and all of a sudden, this little girl, about 4 or 5 years old, comes bouncing up the stairs, and the only way you could tell anything had happened to her was that the hair was still shaved. But the gravel was gone. She was completely normal. There was nothing wrong at all. Praise God. Praise God. Several weeks later, her mother was at a neighborhood party where different mothers got together and just visited. They were talking about different things. And among the people there was a nurse who worked at the emergency ward at the Sick Children's Hospital in Toronto, and they were talking about different things that had happened, and she said, you know, they brought in a little girl a few weeks ago, and she named the time, said, I told the other nurses that they just brought in somebody that's not going to make it, and Clara Lynn was actually sitting on her mother's knee, and they noticed that she was kind of clinging to her. They asked why, and she said, well, because she was the little girl that was in the accident, but God has completely healed her. You see, those things happen in the course of the day. They're not a special miracle that you're looking for. When you wake up that day, you're not expecting anything to happen. But when you live in the anointing, then you're ready for any kind of occasion, any kind of situation. And the Lord today wants his church to live in the anointing. Because he's going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh in the last days. And it's not going to happen by ones and twos. We've got to have everybody actively involved. We've got to have everybody walking in the anointing and in the authority of God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to close with one more story and one scripture. But I've been teaching for the last several years on spiritual warfare, spiritual gifts, and we had one with the leadership of Malaysia, and one of the assistant superintendent, Brother Clement, who just recently passed away, he and his wife had flown over from East Malaysia to be at this particular seminar, which was for 2.5 days. And just before the last session, on the last day, Sister Suk, that's his wife, came to me and said, Brother Shawm, I've just noticed
online that there is a Category 5 cyclone that's supposed to hit East Malaysia today, and we're flying there. We've been talking about spiritual authority, taking authority over the enemy and the power that he has. She said, can we have the group pray before we do the last session? I said, certainly. So we gathered them together, and for about 10 to 15 minutes, there was a very powerful prayer that went forth in the name of Jesus. We dismissed everybody after the sessions were over, and we were at home the next morning, and Sister Shaw asked me, she said, Alan, did anybody say anything about the cyclone? And I said, no, I hadn't thought about it. So she said, I'm going to call Brother Clement. So she called him, and he said, well, actually, I don't know. There's nothing that's happened here. And about a half an hour later, I got an email from Sister Suk, his wife, and she said, to be more specific, the Malaysian Meteorological Agency just issued a bulletin that a Category 5 cyclone died in open water. Anybody who knows anything about cyclones or hurricanes or typhoons knows that's where they gain their strength. They lose strength over land. But this one died in open water. There had been two of them just in previous weeks to that that had created enormous damage in different countries in that region. But I believe that God moves through his people because the anointing is upon them. And when we take authority, when we begin to pray in the name of Jesus, when we walk in that anointing, he will do the miraculous for us. Praise God. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, and I close with this, but he said in Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is, without exception. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs could possibly, or might, these signs shall follow them that believe. Believers don't follow the signs. Signs follow the believers. If you're really walking in the anointing, then signs are going to follow you. You're not going to chase around the country to the next big evangelist and seeing if you can find some signs there. The real believer has signs following him or her. As we walk in the anointing, as we walk with that authority that the Holy Ghost gives to us. So these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. He doesn't say might, he says shall. They shall speak with new tongues. That's something that is going to happen to believers. He said that they shall take up serpents. Does that mean we go looking for brown snakes? No. But the Apostle Paul was on the Isle of Patmos one day. They'd been shipwrecked. And he was gathering some wood and putting it on the fire. And suddenly one of the most poisonous serpents of that island fastened on him. And the people were expecting him to fall dead. But he just shook it off into the fire and continued on. Then they thought he must be a god. And they were ready to worship him. He said, no, it's my God who has done it. But when you walk in the anointing, even when you come into danger, even when things that are supposed to destroy you try to attack you, you're still okay because the Holy Ghost is upon you. Praise God. You walk in the anointing. You walk in his authority. When we were living in Pakistan during the time we had our crusades, there was one four-year period where we saw almost 48,000 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We had regular crowds between 8 and 25,000 people gathering in a country where there was terrorism going on, suicide bombings almost on a regular basis. But the Lord put a wall of safety around us, and we saw the miraculous happen. We saw the lame healed, the blind eyes opened, the deaf ears unstopped. God
perform the miraculous because we were walking in the anointing. There is an anointed spirit that covers his people. And even though it may appear to be dangerous, his hand will be upon you. And you don't need to be fearful. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Again, you don't go looking for a cup of arsenic. But if somehow you get served something that could be very harmful, God will save you. And there have been times people have tried to poison believers, and God negated that poison. He completely defanged it so that it had no effect on the individual that drank it. And he said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise God. That's what the Lord said is going to happen when people obey the gospel. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Right hand of God is talking about the power of God. He had ascended into that position of power and authority now. And it said, they went forth and preached everywhere. Bible school was over. Now it was time for them to hit the road and start walking in the anointing. Hallelujah. It said that they went everywhere, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Wherever you go, the anointing goes with you. The Lord goes with you and does the work. Praise God. Praise God. If I'm over here, this is where the anointing is. And when I move over here, this is where the anointing is. And when you start to move in faith and walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, when you walk in the anointing wherever you go, that's where the power is. And you can reach out and touch the Lord for the miraculous at any given moment. Praise God. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to do something a little different today. I don't do it very often, but I feel impressed to do it this way. The normal, traditional thing is we give an altar call, people come to the front and pray. But I'm going to ask here, who needs a miracle today? Could you raise your hand? You need God to touch you physically, maybe emotionally, maybe there's something in your life. You need a miracle. There's a lot of people. Just, I want you to look around who has their hand raised. Normally we say, don't look around. Well, we're asking you to look around today. We're going to do this differently. Okay, you've seen different ones. See somebody near you. Maybe there's somebody that the Lord speaks to your heart about. We're going to pray, and I'll pray. I'll lead with a prayer of faith, first of all. But I want you to then lay hands on somebody near you who had their hand raised. Because God wants to use you. If you have His Spirit, if you're walking in the anointing, He wants to use you to heal somebody today. Praise God. Praise God. This isn't Alan Sean doing something. This is God's power. Praise God. Yeah, I'll lay hands on a few people too, because I'm part of the congregation here today. But it's going to be God doing the miraculous. And I asked Him especially for an anointing today that would heal people. And I believe that He's going to do that. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can receive it right where you are. You just open up, start to worship the Lord by saying, hallelujah. Allow His Spirit to begin flowing through you. You'll start to feel strange sounds coming in your head. Just speak them out. Don't be afraid. That's the Holy Ghost trying to speak in His language. When I speak English, I think in advance before speaking. And so the Lord will do the same in your mind, but you can receive His Spirit here right now. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to ask Pastor Downs and Bishop Downs to join me, and we're going to extend our hand towards this congregation. You saw somebody raise their hand near you, or maybe if it's somebody and it's convenient to get there that you felt impressed to pray for, I want you to just reach out and touch that person as we pray together. We're going to take authority over every sickness here. Jesus said, go and heal the sick. He didn't just say Bishop Downs or Alan Shaum or Pastor Downs or some specific name. He said, go and heal the sick. He's talking to the church. And we have that anointing. We have that authority here today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord Jesus, upon the authority of your word, through the power that is in the name Jesus, and through the authority that you've given to us as your church, we now bind every sickness in this place. We take authority over it, and we release the anointing to heal in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just lay a hand on somebody nearby. Somebody that their head to raise, hand raised. Begin to believe God for a miracle today. Let the Spirit of the Lord touch them. Let His anointing flow through you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The anointing is here. Hallelujah. As you exercise faith, God will act upon that faith, and miracles will begin to happen. People's lives are going to be touched. He's going to change situations that seemed impossible. Hallelujah. He's going to do things in your family that seemed impossible. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.